Hello, this is Jamie.
It's Martha.
Hello,
how are you?
Hi.
How are you, Jamie?
I'm well.
Come on, yes.
Freezing cold.
Okay.
I'm expecting a phone call, so if I hang up suddenly, that's what it is, okay?
Okay. All right, I'll let them know.
Okay.
Shivita Cho, good morning.
Oh, Shivita Cho, good morning.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoas. Anabakoas, Gedula Jamin Ha, Ta Ti. Gimel Yudak Tadi Kabel Rinat Amchasad Venu Taharenu No Ra Ufreshayim Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Sham Rem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rachamei Sikatcha Tamid Gam Lem Etet Resh Stadi Taf Gimel Chasim Kadosh Fero Tuvcha Na'el adata et kufbet tet dunayim Yachid geyeh lamcha p'nei zohrei kidushata Yud gimelamet pei zayim kuf Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodea Salumo, Kintufat, Tadi Yudta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'chanun, Erech Apayim V'ral Chesed V'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alapim, Noseawon Wafesha, V'chata'a V'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Yitro. It is Pasuk 29. We will start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kud shabrihu ishkinte bidhilu erhimud hilud hilu erhimu. Leyachda l'shem yud hei b'vav hei B'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah La'asok Torah mitzvah V'yehi no'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenehu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tanenan Dekucha Parichu Komad Aved Le'ela Witata Olaihu Kishot Fiovada Kishot Belei Lachmila Bialma Bivaye Barnash Ledach Yaleya Mine ya ulan haga The energy of this current year, 5779, is to become wiser. There are five verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first three that we study connects to the energy by having the name of the year, Lapshin Ayin Tet, spelled within the verses. These letters of the name are separated by two letters each, which represents a blockage that needs to be removed in order to manifest becoming wiser. The first of the three verses is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18. Ve'imadele lo tishmeuli ve'asafti le'yasra echem sheva al hatotechem. The second verse that we study is from the book of Isaiah. It is chapter 36, verse 6, and it again has the letters of the name of the year separated by two letters each. Only in this verse, the name of the year is in reverse order. The verse is, Hine vatachta al mishenet akane haratzutz taze. Amitraim Masher Yisameh Yishalal Vabekapo Unkavakein Paro Melech Mitraim Lekol Habodhim Malav. Then the third last verse comes from the prophet Micha. It's chapter 6, verse 13. Vegam ani hecheleti hakotecha ashmeim al habototecha. There are 13 verses that connect to the energy of becoming wiser by virtue of their verse starting with the letter He and ending with the letter Tet. We are going to read and study the fifth of these 13 verses, which is located in the book of Isaiah in chapter 49, verse 24. Ayukach migibor malkochach leim shevi tzadik. And the fifth verse that we study is the single verse in the Tanakh that starts with the letter Taf and ends with the letter Tet. This is in the book of Job. It's chapter 41, verse 22. Tach tav hadudei chares Yirpad Sarutz Aleitit. The year 5778 has the inner energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. Essentially, this is an energy that helps us to reduce our egos and strengthen our connection to the energy of humbleness. The first of these two verses is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkavam nom vayitchal vayavo hamelech liroto vayomer amnon. El HaMelech Tavo Natamar Achoti Utlabev Le'ene Shete Levivot Yere Miada. The second verse comes from the Book of Psalms. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each, representing the blockages that have to be removed. The verse is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Chatati odiacha wawoni lo kisiti. Amarti ode ale peshai ladonai ohe wahe we atana sata awon chatati sela. The year 5777, known as the year of the wake up, as well as the year of the goat. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first verse is from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52 that we study. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai sinam. We take the first letters of these words. We have Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. We have the final letters of these words. We have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of penance. The second verse that we study comes from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion. These letters are separated by seven letters each, representing the blockage that needs to be removed. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Azeh. The year 5776 has the energy of the pause that refreshes. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34.
Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lahavshit et kol haolot vayahaskum achechem halavim ad kelot amlaha. The Adit God Shu Hakohanim Ki Alivim Yishrei Levav Leit Kadesh Me Hakohanim.
This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe Lalahe Wawawa Yo la yo, ala me, hey, hey, hey. Ha. The second verse that we studied is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Be'tuvah Adonai Yohewahe Ade Ade Kibiyah Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tur Olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Tama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol amachavoiya asher yitabe sham washartem elai el nachon wehalak yitzem wechayayim yeshno varet spiti pasti O Tov B'Kol Alfei Yehuda. And then the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegel lo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse in the Tanakh with this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ba'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing a tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. I'm going to mention, and part of our class today will be about the 72 names, because this is the first day of the week of Bishalach, the parasha that has concealed within it the 72 names, are actually the 144 names, as we've discussed a few times. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta hezayo alada la awahe heya Yozala me behe, he reyo he kome, la awa kala yo, la wawa pehe la, nu la ha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nu ta he he a a, yo re ta shi a he, reyo yo awa me, la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da. A wan anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za. He 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 me yo ka wa wa la yo la he. Sa a la he re yo a shi la he me yo he. Wa he wa ita nu yo he he shi a me me. Nu nu wa nu yo ta me be he he wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re. Wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo. Ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names of God that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool. Wah, 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 yo, 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 sa, be, te, ah, me, me, be, she, la, yo, ah, hey, anu, ah, come, ta, hey, hey, yo, anu, da, la, hey, wah, hey, me, ah, yo, ta, la, me, re, hey, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me, la, wah, wah, ka, be, yo, la, yo, wah, hey, nu, la. Nu me fa yo se yo me nu he se se wa nu yo he he she he he she a yo re ta she a he re la yo a wa me la yo se wa he re yo yo wa la ta he se ta a to me nu da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo ta yo he ra yo he za he she he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo wa a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo she a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta me la he be a yo. Nu ko me yo re la he be he me sa re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me la he la yo me he me. Today is the seventh day of Shabbat. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, Rabbi David Biederman of Lelov, Rabbi Noson David Rabinowitz of Partsov, Rabbi Mordechai David Unger of Dombrov, Rabbi Yitzhak Aron Segel Itinga, Rabbi Mordechai David Levin, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch, one of the sons of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Raphael Shlomo Lenayado, Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Lehner of Ishbitz, Rabbi Shalom Yosef Friedman of Huz Yatin, Rabbi Moshe David Wally, Rabbi Yosef Eliashio, and as our wont on Sunday to mention the Tzaddikim who will leave tonight at sundown as we enter the eighth day of Shabbat, Rabbi Baruch ben Rav Shmuel of Pinsk, Rabbi Nathan Aminadav Yona, he is the son of Moshe David Kasuto of Florence, Rabbi Yosef Meir Kahana, the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. We will also connect to the Anim meditation, which is available on the Unique Astrological Times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or at the bottom of the mobile devices, the Hashem webpage. In any event, please make a note of the Unique Astrological Times link, as we will be utilizing this quite extensively today. I'm waiting for my page to come up, so please wait a second. We will start with the at the bottom of the first page, which connects to the level of Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo so, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, hod, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu. Next up. Ye ahini we ohi. Ye ahini we ohi. Ye ahini we ohi. Be ferret. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yehura. Ye ah. Ni we yo. Ye ah. Ni we yo. Ye ah. Ni we yo. Hesed, yeah, anyway yo hair, yeah, anyway yo hair, yeah, anyway yo hair. Bina, yeah, anyway yo hey, yeah, anyway yo hey, yeah, anyway yo hey. Achma, yeah, anyway yo ha, yeah, anyway yo ha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. We will now say the two lines of the Shema in case there are those among our community who have not said it. Please cover your eyes. And then lean slightly to the left as we say, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Now we will say the abridged Kaddish, which is available on the unique astrological times link. Itkadal itkadashime rabbah, and we all say Amen. Ve'alma divra kirute v'yam lik malchute v'chayechonu v'yomechonu v'chayeh. To call Beit Yisrael be agala uvis mankariv. It barach veishtabach veit pa'ar veit romam veit nasei. Veit adar veit ale veit alal shmeide kucha. Leila min kol birkata veshirata tushpechata. V'nechamata da miran bi'alma, yehe shlama rabba mitshamaya, v'chayim aleinu yal kol Yisrael, v'imru amen. Ose shalom bimromav, u'yase shalom aleinu, we all call Yisrael, v'imru amen. If you go back to the unique astrological times link, about 55% of the way down the page, after the Tanit Dibur section, after Rosh Chodesh Shabbat, there is a section titled Ritual of Study the Mana, Parashat Beshalach. There are two links within that. The second one we're going to study today, it's a short one, or relatively short. And then we have, immediately under that, the holiday of Tu B'Shvat. And we have a link titled, the second one under that name of the Tu B'Shvat. The title is Tu B'Shvat, New Year for the Tree, Pri Etz Hadar, the original Seder. And when you open that up, you'll need to scroll down about a quarter of an inch to where we will start. But our first study will be on the 72 names addendum. And the reason for that, as I mentioned earlier, this is the week of B'Shalach. The parasha for this week, this coming Saturday, is B'Shalach. This is concealed in B'Shalach, is the 72 names. Concealed in this parasha is the Song of the Sea, which represents the breaking of the limitations that we create for ourselves. It's also the parasha of the manna, which people say on Tuesday to help with their parnasah for the year. There are other people who say the manna paragraph for daily. Some do it certain days of the month. But it is universally accepted to be done on the third day of the parasha B'Shalach, which will be this coming Tuesday. So please make a note of that. We will be saying it as part of our Monday night 7 o'clock class. We will be studying it more than saying it. But in that sense, Monday night is Tuesday, is the third day, because the days start in the evening. So please join us for that 7 o'clock class, as well as reading from the same paragraph on Tuesday morning. The truth about the 72 names of Hashem, plus some other truths about religion. And this is an essay by Rabbi Bar Sadok. The Bible tells us the story. 7 days after the children of Israel left Egypt, they arrived at the shores of the Yam Suf. Here it's saying Reed Sea, the current modern translation, although I prefer the literal translation of Yam Suf, the Sea of End, the Sea of Limitation. Pharaoh's army had pursued them there, blocking any escape. Israel was trapped with a hostile army in front of them and the sea to their rear. We all know about the famous miracle of the parting of the sea and the salvation of Israel. I will point out to you in an unwritten commentary, I think it was the sea in front of them and the hostile army in their rear. Since ancient times, there is said to exist a secret code, a special holy name of Hashem, found in 3 of the verses that mention the parting of the sea. The letters in these 3 verses, when rearranged according to a specific formula, form this special 72 triad name of Hashem. According to many, this name is the famous and awesome Shem HaMeforash. This name is considered so powerful and so dangerous that anyone attempting to recite any of its parts or use it in any way will be immediately struck dead. At least so the legend says. Let us put the legend and myth aside and look at some of the facts. The three verses in question are Exodus chapter 14, verses 19, 20, and 21. Each verse, curiously, has the same number of 72 letters. 72 is considered a special number in Torah. It is the numerical value of the Hebrew word chesed, meaning loving kindness. And with the letter vav is also three times the value of the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, signifying a cubing of its power. I am adding, 72 is also the gematria of the spelled out name of Hashem, associated with the Sephirah of Hakba. In addition, 3 times 26 connects to the three columns of the Tree of Life. It is important to also realize that when the Vav is added to the name to become And Hashem, according to the Zohar, is a code word connecting to the uniting of Zeranpin and Malchut. Continuing to read. The three verses are subject to a formula of transformation in this way. The first verses were written straight across. The second verse is written backwards. And the third verse, again, written straight across. Then the letters of the three verses are divided into triplets, thus forming 72 triads. However holy and sacred this day and this formula may be or may not be, most are totally unaware that this formula of forward, backwards, and forward writing is not indigenous to anything Israelite or Jewish. This form of writing is called Boustrophedon, and was common in Greek culture, and before them it was used in Luwian, Hittite, hieroglyphics. How interesting that the most sacred form of Torah secret, coding, is not originally Jewish at all. Those with experience using the names have learned from their experience that the awe and hype surrounding the names are pretty much myth. Building fear tactics, reciting them properly, chanting them, and even reciting or chanting the combinations of these triads with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, or equally reciting or chanting the angelic names associated with each of the 216 letters, is not a lethal practice. No one has ever died from making use of these names. No one has gone insane. No one has been cursed by heaven because they were impure or unworthy. I am adding, the same can be said for intertwining each triad with your own name in Hebrew letters. On the contrary, those using these names have learned either one of two things. Either one has experienced absolutely nothing and concludes that the entire ceremony and practice associated with these names is a complete myth, Chas v'Shalom, and religious hype, or one learns the real truth that the usage of these names are a psychological tool for guidance in active imagination or to focus archetypal meditation. Essentially, the names are not names at all. Rather, they are a psychological tool for deep self-introspection and for pursuing psychological revelations and insights that such a practice can bring to one's consciousness. This psychological result is certainly not magical. It is not even mystical, but but it is certainly real. It can be tried, retried, and proven over and over again. The greatest secret that the magical names is that they work magic in the mind and can be used to help a mediator, a meditator, discover one's own inner truths. This they do, indeed. However, by revealing this revelation, I have also deflated the magic out of the myth and possibly put a number of charlatans who try to take advantage of others by promoting the non-existent magic of the names out of business. Good riddance to bad trash. Let the truth be told. For me, this is the key to real religion. Let this revelation serve as a lesson to us. Let this lesson serve as an introduction to further lessons. And let me share with you some of these. Religion is terribly misunderstood, and it's most especially by the religious. People today read ancient texts from ancient societies and think that because they can read these texts in their own modern languages, that these texts are to be understood literally, and their lessons applied accordingly. It is an unfortunate statement of modern arrogance for one today to view an ancient text and proclaim that one understands it in translation without knowing the text's original cultural context, intricate literary devices, and purpose and intents of the original author or authors. So much is misunderstood because people look at the surface and refuse to believe that there are layers and layers of deeper meaning, and that without knowledge of these, that any surface, superficial perusal is fundamentally wrong. It is not enough to read the text and then proclaim what it means. One must first ask the difficult question. What does the text really mean? What is it really saying? What is its original purpose? Why is it written the way it is? And what does this teach us about the nature of its literary style? If these are the questions that we must ask about religious texts, think about the questions that we must ask about Hashem himself. What do we really know about Hashem? What can we know? We read texts that represent Hashem to us in almost human terms, and we interpret this literally to create Hashem in our own image. In the Hebrew Judaic tradition, Hashem is always portrayed in almost human context. In spite of the fact that the Bible itself says clearly never to make any form or image of Hashem. Through the centuries, stories have been created that speak of Hashem doing this or doing that, yet a point made extremely clear by the ancient sages is that all the stories they have created were for moral and ethical purposes only. They emphasize that all apparent references in the Bible to Hashem having any semblance of form is completely symbolic and metaphorical. The ancient texts use this language not to be in any literal, but rather to be poetic and to try to help mere mortal human beings to comprehend and embrace ethical and moral instruction. Using the ancient example, the sages also used metaphor and symbol to express their moral and ethical teachings. Yet when their methods were forgotten, many took a look at their words and begin to interpret them literally instead of how they were originally meant to be understood in their symbolic and metaphorical style. This has led many to adopt many mistaken beliefs and concepts about Hashem. This is an unwritten commentary, but in addition to the psychological archetypes that Rabbi Bar Sadok is mentioning, other Kabbalists teach that all of the Torah, all of the biblical texts that are being described as metaphors here, actually teach us about energy. Continuing to read. Without actual verifiable knowledge and experience of spiritual realities, many are inclined to believe just about anything that they are told. The words ascribed to the circus man, P.T. Barnum, begin to ring true ever so loudly. A sucker, a foolish, gullible person is born every minute. When it comes to religion and spiritual matters, many fall hook, line, and sinker for this or that scam, or whatever be the latest trend of superstitious nonsense that is popular at the moment. I am adding, this is why Kabbalah teaches that one must do their own work and their own Torah study, yet also choose a teacher that resonates with their soul to keep them on a straight path. The biblical texts take a strong stand against magical and occult practices. These prohibitions were not instituted to prevent access to the occult, because it is spooky and full of actual, authentic evil powers. Rather, these edicts were instituted to keep the public away from the foolish practices that charlatans practice and leads to the promotion of superstition. The occult is very real, especially when it is understood within its proper psychological parameters. However, without true in-depth knowledge of the human psyche, many are duped into believing all kinds of nonsense, superstitions, and foolishness, even though they are packaged under the guise of being spiritual, pious, religious, and mystical behavior. Those who fall for this line of thinking, or who get involved with these foolish practices, ascribing any value to them at all, are indeed suckers, as P.T. Barnum would indeed have called them. I am adding, the occult systems do work. They utilize the same spiritual system as the Kadosh, the holy systems, use. The difference is consciousness. The occult uses the spiritual system with the consciousness of a desire to receive for oneself alone, while the Kadosh system uses the spiritual system with a consciousness of the desire to receive in order to share. Many people are unwilling to admit, especially and even to themselves, that their consciousness is the selfish desires. These mistakes are made by many. The same actions can have either motivation. It is up to the practitioner to make sure that they transform their desire to receive and change it from selfishness to sharing. Religion is supposed to be simple and natural. It is not supposed to be convoluted, complicated, and confusing. Remember the adage that I have frequently said. It is simple, yet it is not easy. superstitions, and much of religious mysticism is make-believe. It is better suited to be presented as children's fairy tales rather than as authentic religious dogma or as mystical magical truths. There is an authentic mystical tradition, just as there are authentic occultic realities. Both of these, however, are expressions and manifestations of human consciousness and the explorations of the mind. The more grounded one is to the earth, the more enabled one becomes to rise to heaven. Thou shalt not be superstitious. Thou shalt not fear the boogeyman. Thou shalt not put thy faith in charlatans, in the make-believe, or in mumbo-jumbo. Let these mitzvot be your guide to explore authentic spirituality along your path to an authentic encounter with the divine, experienced within yourself. Blessings and peace. Shalom. Shalom and brachot gadol. Many blessings, much peace. We have finished this portion of the class. Are there any questions? The balance of the class is the Prietz Hadar, as mentioned earlier. So please turn to that handout. And open up the link and scroll down to where it says, the Prietz Hadar, fruit of the majestic tree, in original Seder for Tu B'Shvat, from the school of Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, circa 17th century. So you can tell from the title we are dealing with an academic approach. But I think you will find it worthwhile and interesting. The first ever published Seder for Tu B'Shvat, Prietz Hadar, the fruit of the majestic tree, or the beautiful tree, can be found in a Kabbalistic text, first published as a pamphlet in Venice in 1728, written by an unknown author. Prietz Hadar was included in the Sefer Emdat Yamim, by Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov ben Yom Tov Al-Ghazi, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Bet El in Yerushalayim. Bet El is the Kabbalistic yeshiva in Jerusalem. The author of this book was a friend of the Chida and the father of the Maharit, Al-Ghazi, one of the great Mekubalim of his time. Rabbi Al-Ghazi's name added greatly to the credibility of Hemdat Yamim, despite its attribution to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, to Natan Binyamin Gazati, a 17th century mystic who greatly encouraged the aspiring Messiah, Shabtai Tzvi, Chas V'Shalom. The Sefer Hemdat Yamin remains a major source of Kabbalistic customs, Minhagim, still practiced by the followers of the Arizal school of Jewish mysticism in Jewish communities all over the world. This article was published in a magazine published by the JPS, and that's the English translator and source. Formerly, Prietz Hadar, contains four basic sections. After an introduction that explains the basis for the Tu Bishvat Seder, there is a prayer to be said before the actual Seder begins. This is followed by a description of the order of the fruit to be eaten and the way wine should be blended in each of the four cups. However, the bulk of the Seder consists of selections from the Bible, early rabbinic texts, and the Soharic literature. In fact, the greatest portion of this material is taken from the Zohar. You can see that we have in section one the explanation for the tikkun of fruit, the correction of fruit. You can see we have Hebrew on the left and English on the right. I recommend that as I read you the English, you scroll or scan the Hebrew. Although the 15th of Shvat occurs during the days of Shovavim, we have discussed Shovavim. We are presently doing the studies of the Psalms three times a week relative to Shovavim and participating individually on Shabbat with a Tanit Dibur. It is not a fast day since it is the New Year's Day for the fruit of the tree. Although the tikkun that is performed on this day with fruit, the Sefirah, the Tzaddik, the life of the worlds, is aroused. This mystery is mentioned in the Zohar in Bereshit. On the third day, the earth made fruit from the potency of that supernal Tzaddik. As it is written, and God said, let the earth bring forth fruit trees that produce fruit. Fruit trees referring to the tree of knowledge, good and evil, that bears fruit. That produce fruit alludes to the Tzaddik, the foundation of the world. It is a good custom of the faithful to eat many fruits on this day and to celebrate them with words of praise, as I have instructed my companions. Even though this custom is not mentioned in the Lurianic writings, it is nevertheless a wondrous tikkun, correction on both exoteric and esoteric levels. For in the Palestinian Talmud, in chapter 10, the following appears, listen, humble ones, and rejoice. Rabbi Hizkiah, Rabbi Cohen, and in the name of Rav, in the future a person will have to account for everything that his eyes saw, and he did not eat. Rabbi Elazar was concerned about this teaching and used to save poor man's gleanings. He would eat them, each one at its time. The reason is that whoever enjoys produce in this world without pronouncing a blessing is called a robber. For by means of the blessing, one draws down Shefa. The angel who is assigned to that fruit, which was eaten, is filled by the Shefa, so that a second fruit can replace the first. Thus, one who enjoys the fruit without blessing, it is a robber. For though eating in an aspect of creation without blessing it, he eliminated the spiritual element that it contained. Thus, he prevented that divine power from being manifest in the world, when he should have drawn down a blessing from above. As a result, the angel's power is annulled, since it is no longer possesses the Shefa it needs in order to replenish the fruit. That is why the person is called a robber. in essence, this is a commentary, unwritten commentary. In essence, when you participate, when you partake of something physical without saying a blessing in advance, you are drawing the Shefa from this angel of whatever you are partaking in. And your action needs to return to create a circuit of energy to return the light, the Shefa, back to the angel so that you activate the level higher than that angel that will then allow the angel through your action to draw the replacement energy. Continuing to read. He also said that it is as if he robbed from his father and mother. For though through the kavanah of the blessing recited when eating fruit, a person who eats rectifies the sparks of his own soul as well as the sparks that pertain to the souls of his parents. This is the esoteric meaning of I will make him disgorge what he has swallowed, which is related to the secret of the verse, the riches he swallowed, he vomits. God, Hashem, empties it out of his stomach. So if one enjoys the fruit without a blessing, it is as if he robbed his parents of the divine sparks that pertain to their souls. He is a comrade of the destroyer. For the destroyer's only intention is to rob the divine sparks and to absorb them in the realm of evil and to prevent them from returning to their source in holiness. This is the esoteric meaning of, for a person does not live on bread alone, but on all that goes forth from the mouth of Hashem. This alludes to the secret of the blessing, which retrieves the sparks from impurity to holiness. It is brought about through the mouth of Hashem by means of the chewing of the 32 teeth, which correspond to the 32 times that Elohim is mentioned in the story of creation. As we have explained at length in the previous section concerning the tikkun of the meal, and we have addressed that in our other classes. Continuing to read, we're a little bit over time, and we will pick up the balance of this next week, but I do want to finish this, enough of this section. Continuing to read, the punishments for these transgressions also apply to someone who sees species of fine fruit and allows them to dry up and go bad without eating them. By not eating them, he prevented the angels of the fruit from receiving their share of divine goodness. Since he did not say a blessing over the fruit, the angel's power is annulled and it is bereft of the Shefa that depends on the blessing. He also robs his parents, for since he did not eat the fruit, he also neglected to eat the sparks that pertain to their souls, as has been explained. According to Rabbi Elazar, used to save poor man's gleanings of all kinds of new fruit to eat, for he wanted to increase blessings and perform the tikkun immediately so as not to miss the opportunity for fulfilling the mitzvot. In order to effect this tikkun, it is fitting to eat all kinds of fruit on this very day and to bless them with this intention. For a mitzvah is best when performed at the proper time, the right action at the right place at the right time with the right kavanah. Continuing to read. According to the Zohar, Rabbi Yehuda said, why is it written, even this God made corresponding to that? God made the earth to correspond to the firmament. Everything below alludes to what is above. For when Rabbi Abba would see a certain tree whose fruit would change into a bird that flew from it, he would weep and say, if human beings only knew to what this alludes. As Rabbi Yossi said, these trees from which wisdom can be learned, such as the carob, the palm, the pistachio, and the like, were all born in one chariot. All those trees that bear fruit, except the apple tree, allude to one supernal mystery. And all the small ones, except for the hyssop, are the offspring of one mother. In heaven, powerful intermediaries are placed over each of the earth's plants, and each has its own mystery, just as above. From this you can understand that although the blessed Creator rules over the earth and everything has an angel assigned to it, nevertheless, of greatest importance is the fact that everything is connected to the supernal attributes. As they said there in the Zohar, why is it written, I went down to my walnut garden? He said to him, come and see. This is the garden that went forth from Eden, and it is the Shekhinah. Walnut refers to the holy chariot, the four tributaries that spread out from the garden like a nut. From this we can infer that herbs can be distinguished by the preeminence of their divine roots above. This is a good place to stop. The paragraph that begins Rabbi Chaim Vital explaining the 30 kinds of fruit. This is where we will pick up next week. So there is no way for me to mark this except to tell you that it's about 1 inch down when you scroll down. And that is where we will begin next Sunday. Does anybody have any questions as of now? Next Sunday evening and Monday is the 15th day of Shabbat, representing Tu Bishvat, the holiday of the trees. We will not be having a community seder this year, which is why we are studying this in depth. I remind you for this week to say the mana Monday night and Tuesday to refresh your understanding and ability to utilize the 72 names of Hashem, as well as the 72 names revealed by the Tzaddikim. Shalom Gadol to all. I hope you have a beautiful week.
Thank you, Hanok. Thank you, Hanok.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.